Well, my brothers and sisters, the period of waiting is over. It's no longer 6 days or 48 days before my ordination. I've now been a priest since last Friday for 3 weeks. I've said this before, but I said that the ordination weekend was such a whirlwind. I tell people that it was so busy I felt like I got married 3 times. And people ask, like, how have you been, or what was it like? And so they ask me, like, did I sleep the night before? And I tell people, I slept like a baby. They ask me if I was stressed at all during that week. Nope. They ask, how did I feel before the ordination and during the ordination? I've been telling people, I felt so much peace. It was like I was drinking from the oceans of grace straight out of heaven. And so I just want to thank you, each and every one of you, so much for all your prayers and your support and your love and your friendship. And from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you. You know, this is where I'm supposed to be. It's a natural fit. And now I'm beginning to fulfill the plan that God has had in mind for me from all eternity. And today we're also privileged to have some seminarians here who also are here to aspire to the priesthood. We have Santiago and Matt. And these two guys here who believe that the priesthood are still worth fighting for. Please shower them with the same love that you have shown to me, to encourage them and to show them that we still need priests. And as I've been reflecting on these last 3 weeks, and although I've just begun my priestly ministry, I can truly tell you that grace is real. I believe in grace. In these last few weeks, I've seen grace. I've seen it firsthand. I've heard those 6 beautiful words said to me that I've been longing to hear forever. Father, can you hear my confession? I've seen God working and moving in people's lives, stirring their hearts to repentance, to come back to Him. And to be able to wrestle a soul out of the vice grips of mortal sin, into being restored into the dignity of a child of God. Wow. What a grace. What an honor. Grace is real. And I have seen it. And today, that's what I want to focus on today. The theme. Seeing grace. Not just seeing some sort of ether kind of fall from the sky, but seeing how God is working in each and every one of our lives, whether you're a priest or a layperson. And when you hear about seeing grace, it might not seem easy, like it is for priests and seminarians and for nuns, to see grace in their life. Seeing grace in the life of a parent or someone working in the world today may seem like impossible. Maybe you feel like Martha, trying to see Jesus in the home of your heart, with all the cares of family life, of work life, and it seems nearly impossible. This insight came to me more clearly. I went on a canoe trip a couple weeks ago, and I was in a canoe with another guy, and he's a dentist. And he's telling me about the busyness of regular life. He told me about his school debt. He told me about the massive mortgage that he had from acquiring a dental practice. And so he's been looking at his debt, he's been engaging with the patients, trying to do a good job, trying to grow his business to pay off the debt, dealing with work issues. And after a long day, tired, he comes home a little bit tired and a little bit stressed. But then he was coming home to a wife who was also tired and stressed because the dishes and the laundry weren't being done because she was taking care of a one-year-old and she's been surviving off of just 3 to 5 hours of sleep. You know, repeat this 4 or 5 times a week for 5, maybe 20 years. Throw in a grumpy, rebellious teenager, a couple of in-laws here and there. Father, you're saying you want me to see grace? Grace is the last thing I probably see at this moment. And with this perspective in mind, we can begin to see ourselves in the shoes of Martha and Mary. We see Martha running around, preparing supper, and understandably, she's stressed and distracted by many things. It's not every day that you get to cook Jewish matzah balls for the Son of God. And so we are like the Marthas of the world, trying to serve the Lord through our life in the world, but by providing for the needs of our family, or just providing for the needs of those who are in our care. And it can be difficult and hard to do. It can be hard to see grace, to see God working in our life. And even more so, it seems like Jesus is disapproving of the life of Martha, and therefore the life of many people here. What does Jesus say? He says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part." Does it seem like that Jesus is disapproving of the active life of 90% of people? Does he desire that all of us go and join a cloistered monastery and become like a Mary? What is Jesus trying to say? What is he trying to get to us? We feel like it's easier for the Marys of the world, the priests, the seminarians, and the nuns, to see grace in their life. But for us, the Marthas of the world, all we see is debts, laundry, and dishes, running around trying to get it all done. I think if we look into our first reading, we get a hint of what the church and Jesus is trying to teach us. Abraham gives us a little insight. See, in our first reading, Abraham wasn't discouraged for his hospitality. In fact, he was blessed for his hospitality, blessed for his work. Because when we look into the first line of the first reading, we hear that the Lord appeared to Abraham. And later on, we hear that there were three men. And so for Jewish commentators and for the regular commentators, it'd be like, how did the Lord appear in three men and what's his form? But for Christians, it becomes eminently clear that God has appeared to Abraham. The Trinity has come to Abraham. And so why was Abraham blessed? Abraham was blessed because his hospitality and his work did not distract him from God, but he encountered God in his hospitality and in his work. His work led him to a deeper encounter with God and brought him closer. And so the scriptures do not condemn working. And what Jesus is really trying to get to the heart of us is this, through Mary. He's trying to say, does my work distract or does it attract? Does my work distract me from God or does it attract me to him? Distract or attract? See, the word distract in Greek is really interesting. Distraction actually comes from, literally means to pull away from. And that makes sense. Distraction pulls us away from rut, away from God. And so it doesn't mean that we abandon work altogether. However, it means that we need to change our perspective on work. We need to see work differently. Does my work distract or attract? How can I see my ordinary life and my work in a way that attracts me to God? So the saints help us see this in a new way. They help us to see grace. It's like they've had spiritual laser eye surgery, and now they can see the spiritual realm more clearly. There's a story about St. John Paul II when he was Cardinal Wojtyla, and he was on his way to the airport because he had just heard that St. John Paul I had just died. And as he was on his way to the airport, this lady knocked on his car door. And the lady was hysterical. She was saying, "I've lost my cat. He's everything I've got." And so we put ourselves in the shoes of St. John Paul II, or Cardinal Wojtyla back at the time. Here's a man who's going to the conclave to vote on the new pope, who probably had a little sense that he might be the next pope. He's got the cares of the world on his shoulders. But then here's this lady worrying about the cat. But what does he do? He goes around the block with this lady, going around looking for this cat. When he finds the cat, he says, "Is that your cat?" She says, "Yes." And he gives her the cat. In his biography, he would later write and say, he tried to see every encounter with every person as an encounter with Christ. Here's the future pope, worrying about the future and the world, weight of the world's going to be on his shoulder. And here he is looking for a cat. But he wasn't just looking for a cat, he was with Christ. He encountered Christ in his daily life. Mother Teresa would say something very similar. She would look over the slums of Calcutta and she would say, "Look, there is Jesus waiting to be loved." And so she would say that we need to recognize Jesus in disguise in the Eucharist so that we could recognize Jesus in distressing disguise in the poor. The saints were able to see grace. They were able to recognize Jesus in the ordinary aspects of their lives, such that every moment was not a moment of distraction, but attraction. Attracting them to God, to experience a deeper encounter with Him. And so when you go to work this week, and you have a grumpy boss or coworker, does that distract or attract you to God? Do you see Jesus hidden in distressing disguise or very distressing disguise in your boss or coworker? Or when you have a newly born who just threw up on the floor, or a kid who just came in with mud all over himself, does that distract or attract you to God? Do you say, "What a mess"? Or do you say, "Look, there's Jesus waiting to be loved"? And so there's this beautiful quote by St. Jose Maria Escriva. He writes, "You must understand now more clearly that God is calling you to serve Him in and from the ordinary, the material, and secular activities of human life. He waits for us every day in the laboratory, in the operating room, in the army barracks, in the university chair, in the factory, in the workshop, in the fields, in the home, and in all the immense panorama of work. Understand this well. There is something holy, something divine, hidden in the most ordinary situations, and it is up to each one of you to discover it. There is no other way. Either we learn to find our Lord in ordinary, everyday life, or else we shall never find Him." So today, as we prepare ourselves to enter more deeply into the mystery of the Eucharist, maybe we begin to see why Jesus comes in the form of bread, as if to beckon us. Come and see me in the ordinariness of bread. Recognize my true presence. Recognize me in the ordinary elements of bread, so that you may recognize me in the ordinary elements of your life.